I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try to watch the rest.
Netflix is back to talk about The Devil's Plan, and we are talking to a man who is gets a few ideas from the devil here and there. It's Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah. How did we get here?
Sometimes, right?
I don't get... No. All of my ideas come from you, Rob.
Yeah. I mean, so all right, yeah. How about this? He sometimes uses the purple devil emoji on Twitter.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a different emoji. Yeah. This is definitely me. Purple devil emoji. Definitely the purple emoji that I use the most.
The
What's up,
plan.
Rob?
Yes.
The devil's plant.
Yes, the devil's plant. That's different. Yes. But excited to get into this here today, because this is one that a lot of people have told us to check out. It's called The Devil's Plan, and it is a new South Korean reality strategic social strategy show from the minds that brought you The Genius. And so we are excited to have here with us somebody, a genius expert podcast on a reality TV network also that knows a thing or two about The Genius as well. Okay, here's Brian Scally. Brian, how are you?
Oh, hello. I'm good. I'm excited to be here to educate the audience on science.
Yes.
That is my main goal.
So we're going to go spoiler free, and then we're going to talk about the first two episodes, which basically takes us through one full cycle of The Devil's Plan. But we'll tell you a little bit about why we think you should check this out, especially if you are a fan. Well, if you're a fan of The Genius, you're just checking this out on site. But maybe if you never watched The Genius, we'll tell you a little bit about what it's like. Okay. Scally, was there any hype for this?
I didn't even know it was happening, which is like feels wild. But all of the sudden, I hear new Netflix show, makers of The Genius. I'm sold. I've checked out other products that The Genius producers have made. So it was like there was no barrier to entry with it being so accessible on Netflix. I was immediately in, as I know many other people
were. Yeah. And Chappelle, you are a Genius newcomer, correct?
I am. I almost watched an episode of The Genius one time, so I really felt like I was prepared for this. You know, like I turned it on and I think I went to sleep and I was like, oh, yeah, because everyone was talking about it. That's the thing with The Genius. I've been listening to these podcasts, these strategy podcasts for a very long time. And The Genius just became like, oh, first it was this, hey, have you heard about it? Have you seen it? And then in a year, it was, oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about if you haven't seen The Genius. Like, this is the best show that any other show has ever shown in the world. Like, if you're not watching this, it was pinned at the top of people's Twitter pages. There were know-it-alls dedicated to it. It was everywhere. And I was like, okay, it's been 7 or 8 years. Yeah. I think I could check one out. And I just got distracted. And so... now The Devil's Plan is out and I'm here to get in on the ground floor, Rob. I don't want to be like one of these latecomers. I want to be here for the new hotness that is The Genius 2.0.
The Genius certainly did like have a moment. Scally, what was the heyday of Genius watching in the like Survivor fandom?
God, I am so bad with timelines. Let me look at what is still probably Colin Stone's pin tweet. I feel people jumped in, I don't know, 6 years ago at this point, 7 years ago.
I want to say around like maybe like 2016, 2017, I feel like is probably the time that there was like a ton of Genius talk. Steven and I, we went through season one and season two of The Genius. I think it was post TEOS because we did it as an audiobook. So I guess that we finished that at the end of 2015. So I guess it must have been like, if I had to guess, I'd have to say like 2016, 2017 was when Steven and I went through the first two seasons.
The Genius Know-It-Alls dropped December 2016. So you're spot on.
Yeah. Okay. So very strategic show. A lot of talk about that. A lot of things that like, oh, the Survivor should take this from the Genius. And then the Survivor tried fire tokens. They were like, please stop. Give it back. We don't want this.
No. No, no, no. It was like, oh, wait, fire tokens. They're doing stuff like the Genius. They're listening. They're on to it. And then by the end of the season, people were like, oh, you know, I don't. Yeah. But there were high hopes.
Had no point, though, in fairness.
But people thought that was Survivor like tiptoeing into the Genius realm. And then that eventually they would start to incorporate more of those things. We did see some editing, tricks that people say are coming from the true. Genius, you know, these flashbacks and flash forwards and stuff like that. But it does seem that with the new era of Survivor, they left the fire tokens behind. Well, they did it that one time and they never touched it again.
Like they were going to, as Jeff has documented and Zach Wurtenberger has talked about, like what the like alternate, like no COVID era of Survivor was going to be. Like it was going to go hard into the fire token economy.
I personally am not a genius. I am far from it. And so the less math and economy that is involved in Survivor, the better for me. Mm-hmm. But for shows like this, The Genius and Devil's Plan, yeah, you got to get into the numbers and the tokens and the pieces. And so, this is not that game. But I do think that most people that I've talked to about The Genius consider The Genius a better game than Survivor overall. And so maybe Survivor should be leaning into more stuff like
sure.
this.
Sure. It's a different game for sure. But The Devil's Plan is here, Scully. And this is basically, like, I would say, like, it's not even genius-like. I would say this is, like, exactly the Genius.
Yeah, it's the Genius without elimination matches so far. I mean, there will be ways to be eliminated, but it is, like, the same exact games. It's very similar, like, formatting. It is the Genius, like,
it looks like the Genius. It feels like the Genius. Yeah. Like like this is like the Genius's like identical twin brother that like got raised in a different house or something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very, very similar. So I think that's generally a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm. It's what I want. Yeah. I mean, it's why everyone wanted more seasons of The Genius. No one wanted like U.S. seasons of The Genius for exactly how fire tokens played out. It was like, I don't need to watch like Danny Bonaducci playing The Genius. Just like, give me season 5.
First of all, you're wrong.
The cast is amazing. And the people they get to be on The Genius, like it's super impressive because these people, like they seemingly like they are like somewhat famous, but they're also like very accomplished. And I don't even, if you were going to try to like create a cast for an American version of the show, I don't know who, other than like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I was going to say the same thing.
I don't know who else you're going to say is like, oh, this person is like an influencer and also has 19 patents and then also is like has a PhD in this area. Almost like every other person that's on this show who's like 27 years old and like is certified like an incredibly smart person, but also famous.
Yeah, they start off with I'm an actor and I've been acting for 8 years. And then they give you their resume and they're like, actually, this person has gone to MIT and graduated from there 3 times before the age of 17 as they went to go start a boy band and then moved on to go, to go create a cure for it's like
people are very accomplished. People, right.
Yeah. But they're just like, oh, it's just me, an actor. I think I'm going to play dumb, y'all. I got an MBA, but I think I'm just going to try to play it dumb. Yeah. Like, no one's going to suspect me. Like, in America, it would be like,
right.
Like you said, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Mayim Bialik.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, she's the three smart.
Look at our cast of the traitors. Have. Like, it's like, it's like Michael Jordan's son.
Right.
And Scotty Pippen's wife.
And his ex-best friend's wife. Former wife.
Even sleeping with his show's son. Nepo baby has majored in mathematics at MIT, is a licensed lawyer in California. Everyone is a genius here.
Known for being the child of two famous people. She actually is the smartest person in the world. I said, oh. Okay.
Yeah. It was actually really interesting also that, because I don't know too much about like the actual production of the original Genius, but Scully, it seems like that Netflix threw the bag at these producers because it gets mentioned a lot in the course of the show of like how they have Netflix money to throw around and they really like go all out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just the fact that The Genius originally was set up where they would go home every week and film and, like, you know, come in for a couple hours, film in a very nice set. But instead here, they get all of these, you know, whatever level of celebrity they are, to live on set in this beautiful location and, like, live there
full time
for at least a week.
It's not even like, oh, we rented a mansion to do this. Like, they built, and so I'm sure there's going to be, like, all sorts of, like, interesting, like, secret passages and stuff like that. Like, the game designers, like, built this entire set and living quarters for people to play on. Like, they showed you in the beginning, like, the time-lapse footage of them constructing this thing, this lair to bring these people to. It was incredible.
It's such a big, like, a big set that the show also wants you to really get into it. They tell you what each of the quarters looks like. They say these people got to go to jail, but it's not just a jail. This is not like, oh, you go behind a little wall or door. They're in a damn cavern.
Yeah.
These people are in the mountains of Afghanistan at this point. You know, they're deep down in some, like, it, like you said, a lair. All the set pieces look amazing. Even just the moving from one side to the other. It's like, okay, now we got to go into the game room. But it's like this weird tunnel, kind of like a Willy Wonka-esque like kind of feel. I was like, they put so much effort into this. And I know it was just like on like a random soundstage. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, they're like living in an escape room.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So, that's all really incredible that they have dropped four episodes. We're recording this the first weekend that it's out. And so there are four episodes that are out. And I guess that there are going to be, we assume, three drops. There's 12 episodes total. Does that sound right, Scally?
That's what it looks like. Yeah. And I believe that this first episode, the first two episodes went through one cycle. I believe that'll probably get sped up, assuming that there are only 12 episodes.
Yeah. And we'll talk about what happens in these first two episodes. And I think people will probably want to go and check out more of this after we talk about it. Or hopefully maybe you already did and want to hear us talk about it. But I thought this was just really, really fun. I mean, it's heavy. Like, it's sort of like this is not a show that, you know, like The Genius, that you could be like sort of like folding laundry and like barely paying attention to. I think that this is a show that sort of needs your undivided attention.
That's the thing with The Genius. Even with The Genius, they would explain the game twice, like on Big Brother, where the rules are extremely easy to understand, except they do it seven times. The Genius would have like the host explain the game once, and then they would also do like a little run through with visuals. This was explained mostly like all at once, and you really had to like pay very close attention to make sure you understood that game.
Yeah, that's why The Genius didn't work for me the first time. I have the attention span of a mosquito. And so, I mean, I'm like, oh, I'm trying to tweet. And I'm like, I'm tweeting about The Genius, y'all. Aren't y'all all happy for me? I look up and then, like, I don't know what happened. They're doing a flashback. I'm like, oh, my God, I missed it all. So, yeah, this time I sat down. I made notes of, like, okay, pay attention. And then when they got to the rules, I was like, okay, rewind it and pay attention one more time. Because you really want to know these things. But I do think that... I think that once the game gets going, you start to understand it a little bit more. It's just that that quick download is really a lot if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, the main game had some complicated rules, which was very much in episode one, like a mafia type game, werewolf type game, but with some specific rules. Scally, could you just explain the difference between like how they had like the death matches in the original Genius and what they're doing here?
Yeah, so in both games, there's in-game currency where there were garnets in The Genius. This has pieces. Now, the garnets ultimately determined the end-game prize, and you could use them in the same way to, like, buy advantages, negotiate, etc. But here, the pieces are mostly separate, and so they don't determine the end-game prize. You can go ahead and, like, the main match is in order to, like, win the game and gain pieces through like outmaneuvering your fellow people, your players, whereas the prize match is separate, where they'll actually compete to raise the prize pot for the end of the game as a group all working together.
Chappelle, were there any standouts for you that when you got introduced to this cast?
Yeah, actually. So I was like, obviously just trying to make sure that like I got everybody's credentials down, because I felt like you've gone through all these years of school. People need to be, you know, giving you your credit. And so I was looking, and I think somebody showed up and they were introducing themselves. And then all of a sudden they said, oh, yeah, but he's from like the boy band 17. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, I know 17.
You do?
I kind of, you know, I've tiptoed into the K-pop realm, mm-hmm. and stuff.
Look at you.
And so I think it's Boo Sungkwan.
Yeah.
Was a part of 17. I was like, I know him. And so, yeah, that's my rooting interest, because that's somebody I know. But that is my Boo Sungkwan. But, you know, I thought that was pretty cool, because even someone who has very little knowledge of a lot of these people's celebrity, it did give me something to latch on to. Like, okay, now I know who I want to root for. Very quickly after the first episode, I think my rooting interest changed, because I like to see people who are playing, you know, the game very cunning. And so I actually have some other favorites as well, but he was the first standout for me.
Yeah. Scally, did you have a favorite in the cast?
I mean, I feel like you got to go to people. This is mostly celebrities, but there are two people who were brought in through open casting calls, including who I think is one of the standouts, Dong Jae. He is a 25-year-old student from Korea University, majored in biomedical sciences. But then he's like, I'm not really that academic. It's cut to, he scored a perfect score on the exam to get into the show.
Yeah, so it's interesting because, you know, we're used to sort of like The Traitors or all these other shows where it's like, it's fans versus favorites, like here's like our famous people and then here's like our random casting people. But the people that there were two people that had to, like, they gave them like some sort of like a like LSATs to get into the Devil's Plan, and they like had like the best scores.
I'm not sure if Yumin also had the best score. I was like, where's the other person that got the perfect score if it wasn't her? Because it wasn't mentioned. But definitely at least like the most interesting, some of the absolute smartest people to have joined. I mean, every person on this cast is extremely qualified.
Who was the other person that came in from the cast? Was it Yumin?
Yeah. Yumin.
And so, yeah, that's, I thought that was pretty cool, Chappelle, that they brought in like two people that were just sort of like the experts that aced the entrance exams.
Yeah, but even then, like you said, they're so smart that it's kind of like, yeah, they're going up against these celebrities, but these celebrities are very smart as well. And so you kind of need to bring somebody in who, if they're not going to have any level of fame, that they're bringing something to the table and they're going to be more competitive because of their educational background. Like Scally was saying, like you sit here in one breath and say, oh, I'm not very competitive or I'm not very studious. And it's like, oh, yeah, tell us about all your degrees. Yumin actually was in orthopedics and is fluent in English and Korean, and like, it was talking about, like, basically, this person walked in like, I'm a doctor, you know, like, it's like, oh, OK, cool. So we know that you're going to be somebody who's going to bring a lot to the table when it comes to the strategy, or at the very least some logical reasoning going on. So, I didn't expect that either. I was just kind of listening to everybody, waiting on everybody's resumes. And then you get to these two people, I'm like, well, what are y'all going to bring to the table that's different? And I do think that they're very early standouts in this group, you know, the test takers, I guess I'll call them.
I want to highlight a couple of the YouTubers who I thought were really, really fun to watch. Let's talk about Orbit, who is like so funny that he loves science. That's all he talks about, science. It's almost like, you know, if you have like a, and Christian Chubicki, I don't want to say this, is exactly like this, but, you know, somebody who has like a love of science. And, you know, Orbit was so fun in this first episode. And I don't know if Orbit is like, I feel like he's sort of like a flawed player, that he just like is not really like so much of a gamer as much as he is just like there for like the, you know, mathematics and science equations of it all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the man has 700,000 subscribers on YouTube, allegedly. So he is knowing that, like, probably getting a boost from this is going to help that moving forward also. And so I was a little confused where at points in these episodes, he's like, there you go. I think that he says basically like, oh, I want to get everyone to the end. I think we should all work together. And he's trying to like increase the prize pot. And that he's also going around saying like, I'm asking people who like, if they all want to work together and get like a better prize pot and all get to the end, because I'm trying to feel out who here like really cares about that prize and who is not here so much for that. So I think there is a element of strategic gameplay. It's just yet to be revealed.
I also love Jubin, the travel YouTuber that can speak multiple different languages, sleep anywhere. Chappelle, he was very, very fun also.
Yeah, he's a Chappelle type, you know, like we are the goof. You have goofballed your way into this crowd of people. Now, what are you going to do? They're ridiculously smart. You're here. You don't know how you ended up in the room, but you're going to make the good time of it. I think this was my avatar this season. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does moving forward because he had some interesting reads and a lot of them were wrong.
Yeah, very funny that both of them are like used to being probably pretty hyperbolic on YouTube. And then they come in here and are like, sorry, I solved the game too quickly. Yeah. Like, they both are very sure of themselves. Mm-hmm,
yeah. When Jubin was like, oh, this is going to be a boring first episode. Sorry, Netflix. This is going to be a quick one. Yeah. Very confident.
That's it. You could just do what I did, but I guess there wouldn't be much footage if you just listened to old Jubin. I was like, yep, Chappelle, you know me. Say, like, listen, they don't respect you and it shows. They just don't.
Mm-hmm. It almost seemed like he was considering letting the game go on a couple extra rounds. Like, I'm helping out Netflix.
He literally was. Like, it's done, but also, I know you need the airtime. It's cool. Get your things.
Yeah, he said he even openly was like, I was really hoping to be the star of episode one. Like, okay.
And he got an ordinary ass role. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of stuff that happens to me. I come in thinking like, yeah, give me all the power. I'm about to make good TV, baby. And then they're like, okay, sit your ass down. You're like, oh, damn. Okay. Well, I guess I'll just sit over here in the corner and be wrong alone. And that's what he did. I think he's one of my faves as well.
All right, so those are the vibes to sort of set up everything from what this show is about. I want to get into a little bit more of the like spoilery things from this first game that we got, which was the game of what? Terrorists versus civilians? Was that what it was called?
It was the virus game.
Okay. Yeah. And sure. Nothing more, you know, that the devil's plan would be than terrorists with virus. But let's explore that here. Right. Is that what the title refers to? Horrible situations. Yeah. So that in the original The Genius, we had Bandage Man who would give this. Scally, is this supposed to be the devil?
I truly could not tell you. I mean, they say that they come from a society where people have to wear masks in the name of public order and personal safety. Like, all right, been there, done that also. But they, Bandage Man is so iconic from the original Genius that I am waiting for this new host to reach that same level. But I do not know what to call him. He's like a little digital face on a mask. He's pretty good. Yeah,
I liked it.
I like the design.
He's not my favorite voiceover. We're not going to talk about the black man who does the resumes. We're not going to talk about him. The man was like Suk Jin is an actor, 18 years from problematic men in mech engineering and smartest and sexiest man in Korea. I said, I know you. I know that man. That's a black dude. I can hear it. Mari texted me and was like, confirmed. That's a black man. I said, okay, we got it here. I love that we get some diversity in my Korean programming. And, oh, that's for the dub, by the way. I mean, if you're doing subs, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you're doing the dub, you heard him. You heard him.
I did do the sub. Yeah, I did like with Seokjin. It was like, oh, he's like one of the sexiest celebrities after appearing on Problematic Men. Like, yeah, like hot men being problematic does track. That makes sense.
Okay, so this game featured that there were a number of different roles. There were two terrorists trying to infect with the virus. There were civilians and three different types of civilians. And then there was also, what, the fanatic?
Yes, the fanatic is like a fanatic and an officer. So if you've ever played like a Goose Goose Duck or an Among Us where they have different roles assigned to these things, it's very much that the fanatic is kind of like the dodo where they're looking to get themselves voted out to get points. So there were other parallels that I could use to kind of track some of these roles and how to play the game. So even for someone like me, who's not a big genius person and far from a genius, that is, it was easier for me to say, oh, okay, I kind of get, you know, what they're going for here. And the player players even say it. Like, a lot of this is just mafia.
Yeah. And Scallion, one of the trademarks of these shows is like the misdirection, but also like flash forwards, flashbacks. Did you feel like that you were following the game as well as it was going on?
I mean, I expected some tricks. Yeah. It wasn't at the levels of The Genius just yet. I mean, episode one of The Genius has like such a good classic moment. But the game here did like live up to that expectation for me, where it felt like we were following a couple people's point of view and then we're being shielded from others only to be let in on them later, which had like great reveals, great secrets, and made you understand the game a lot better. Yeah.
Chappelle, were you feeling like that you were able to figure out who the terrorists were?
No. But luckily for us, we had a very good journalist who had been doing the research for us. And so once she found out that who Kyung our Rim. First terrorist was, yeah, Kyung Rim, she found out who our first terrorist was and completely just went and just aired it out. And I was thinking the whole time, what? Yeah, I think that's a pretty cool thing to do, but there has to be a downside to this. And she was immediately killed. And so I was like, well, there you go. Yeah. So again, watching the people who would play like me. So she came after Siwon and was very much ejected from the game right after. But yeah, that's probably why it was easier for me to keep up with where my train of thought was going, because these people started talking and gaming instantly. But you really did have to pay attention to some of the smaller social conversations to see what the outcome was going to be.
Yeah, Scally, I thought it was cool that there were like different like mechanisms that people in different roles had to do, where it was like the terrorist to infect somebody, they needed to like lock like arm in arm with them, and then that to like commit the murder, that they had to like point a gun at them for a couple seconds and like be undetected, and then also like the researchers to work on their research needed to hold hands on the bench. So I like that there was also like specific things and maneuvers that people needed to be doing and maybe be undetected.
Yeah, it was great because it got people paranoid, especially because even like the linking arms ended up not being related. Right. It ended up just being at the same time that Guillaume went into like another room and did something in the mirror where he like made the number of the person that he wanted to kill. So people were getting paranoid and running around saying like, oh my God, I know it's you because of this. I think that people played this game very aggressively to start, and maybe will adjust their strategy based on how quickly the citizens seem to have lost this game, really.
Yeah, but Orbit the science guy, this guy, this guy here, he says, look, we should all just win together. So what we're going to do is we're just going to socially distance. Yep, he said the words. Let's just spread out. Mm-hmm. And now nobody can link arms with anybody. Nobody can kill anyone. We're just not going to move. He implemented the Boston Rob rules. We're going to buddy system. Everyone's going to stand here. And someone says, well, how are we going to find the cure? Mm-hmm. If nobody moves, they're like, oh yeah, damn. It's like, yeah, well, that's the end of that.
Yeah.
So that's when they all start to scramble.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that even in the second match in the like prize round, you know, that he also has like similar ideas of sort of like, okay, well, this is all for, we'll do it all for the group as opposed to the individual, which I think creates some interesting drama with this group. There was a couple of people that played their roles very interestingly, where there was some misdirection going on. We had Guillaume, who we haven't talked about that, and he is is he an American or a Canadian?
Canadian.
He's Canadian. Is he speaking Korean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's out there, and he's not speaking a lot. He's being very quiet, but he ends up telling people that he is the officer. He is lying. He is a terrorist, and he does a really good job of like convincing people that he is the officer and he is the one who's on their side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the beginning, people are going around, and while a lot of people came into this game saying they were going to play dumb, it seemed like Guillaume is the only one who successfully converted on that, because Orbit was originally just like, all right, like, if the officer made such a bad play in the first round, obviously it's Guillaume because he's so stupid. He immediately thought that was the case, and so he does a really good job of getting people to think that he is roles that he is not, and people say like, oh, you're a really good liar, but it's just that he is not answering questions, avoiding them. him and playing it in such a way that he left it like very open-ended, whereas everyone else was very forthcoming with it.
Yeah, so apparently he is a, in addition to being a poker player and a Bitcoin investor, he's also a pro at Star Fox. Are either of you Star Fox people?
Back in the day.
Yeah, this is a while back.
Yeah, like back in my younger days, you know, but I grew out of the Star Fox.
StarCraft player.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was it StarCraft?
StarCraft.
Okay. I think it's a StarCraft player. Yeah. Okay. Star Fox is a very different
game. What is StarCraft?
I don't know.
I think it's I have not played it personally, but I do believe it's like a very popular strategic game. I've heard of like many other StarCraft players that have like been able to go pro. I just have not gotten into the scene.
My apologies to the StarCraft community.
And the Star Fox,
Star Fox community. My apologies.
Yeah, not to leave
the
them out.
Other terrorist ends up being Siwon, who gets blown out of the water very early from Kyung Rim's investigative journalism. I did like Siwon.
Yeah, me too. And it, I mean, it did feel like she got blown out of the water, but it was kind of by design. You know, we find out about an alliance that was made as well. So she kind of like, yeah, I'll sacrifice myself here. Take a L real quick, get somebody out of the game, get the ball rolling a little bit and go sit back and watch my partner do their work. And they weren't partnered with another terrorist.
And I feel like Siwon and Kyung Rim both were two that I think could be very interesting characters moving forward and could be good game players, but just like attacked this maybe a little too aggressively to start. And also maybe like weren't as good of liars as they thought they might have been. So I'm interested to see in another game, can they like fix their mistakes and ultimately do better? Because I think that they're both pretty strategic.
Yeah, this was a good start for the town, for the civilians, that they got Siwon out of the game so early and you felt pretty good. It's like, all right, well, we just got to get one more terrorist. Junbin's like, okay, this is pretty cut and dry. We got this one. And it turned out to be much more complicated than they anticipated. I think a lot of that, Chappelle, if this was Suits Yourself, we would talk about who gets the Liddy. I'm wondering if Dong Jae might be the MVP of all this.
Yeah, Dong Jae ends up being the fanatic. And, you know, my boy Junbin is instantly like, you know, I think Dong Jae is the terrorist. We kind of got to go after him. Like, well, no, Junbin. He's like, nope. If people just go ahead and kill him, we go and wrap this up. Go keep it tight here. It's like, he really wants you to kill him a lot. And he is very emphatic about just surviving the rounds. And so that is what's really making him seem kind of sketchy. They're like, well, why are you trying to survive so much, you specifically? And that was his whole tactic. He comes in, he gets voted out, obviously, because they think it's him. They convince him to get killed by the officer. And he walks out and says, I win the game. So that's it. And then he gets all his, I think he gets four pieces for surviving. Is that right, Scally? I mean, for getting voted out.
I think he only got two because he got killed a little bit later in the round, maybe one or two.
Yeah.
But then what we do find out is that he negotiated with the terrorist, in fact, and actually got it so that like he'll get them a win as long as he can get a win himself, and they will also give him pieces in exchange.
Yeah, that's the part of the game that I did not foresee. Like, I know that they could barter and like, you know, and negotiate with these pieces, but they did it so early in the game. I want to say that that was one of the first interactions was the alliance between Dong Jae and Siwon. Yeah, I think instantly, because I think they knew each other, right? They had met each other before on a show. Was that what happened?
I think it's hard.
Yeah.
Dong Jae is one of the ones who came in through the entrance exam, so I think they probably have not met each other. I know Seok Jin and Siwon had
met
each other.
Right.
Oh, no, 92ers. The 92ers.
There's a whole bunch of alliances in there.
Yeah, but they very early bonded on and said, you know what? Whatever a role we get, we're going to tell.
Yeah.
You know, so just come and tell me and then we'll figure out a way to split this thing. And so they did. And so from there, it was an easy fix. And like I said, I really wasn't expecting that because I thought like I was looking at the game in a vacuum and I forgot about the larger game, which is you need to be collecting more pieces. And so, yeah, for me, it really behooves you to, even if you got to lose sometimes, as long as you get some of the winnings, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, Scally, in the original Genius, so the Garnets ended up corresponding to like the money that was in the prize pool where where, you know, you'd want to like whoever you, if you were the last person standing, you got all of the garnets and each garnet represented a certain amount of money. Here, that's not the case. There's a different like prize pool that's there. So with the, we in two episodes really don't know what the pieces do, right?
Well, they've said that the pieces can be used to purchase advantages in future games. And so I think that that's going to be the main motivation there. It seemed like people are very motivated to get pieces, even willing to sacrifice potentially the prize fund for it. So coming in with a lot of celebrities, I'm sure they come in with various net worths, and some of them don't need this prize as much as they need to win the game. So they very much are concerned about winning and setting themselves up for the future. Someone like Dong Jae, even who is not a celebrity, is very concerned with making sure he gets as many pieces as possible so that in future games he'll be set up with an easier time.
So it turns out that the person who is the officer is Suk Jin, and he has to be the person who's like working on taking out some of these terrorists. I really like the mechanism of how he had to like fire his shot in each round of there was like the bookcase with all the numbered books where you turn the book over to make your shot at who you're going to kill. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, I guess it's supposed to be to keep it discreet. But once they got moving around, people just were staring there looking at him like, flip the book, flip the goddamn, you know, like it really got to the point where it was so intense to where, you know, like, yeah, sneaking off into the mirror and holding up the number of the person you want to go home is kind of like, it's kind of cool. But the dramatics in like him standing next to the bookcase and they're kind of like, I don't know which one to flip. It very much felt like someone had a gun pointed at, you know, the person they were about to take out. And he only had a couple bullets. And so it really was like very tense moment. He just chose wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was great. Ultimately, I think that like not letting that final round play out and letting someone trip over their words was his mistake, because it seemed like he was so set on knowing that it was Dong Jae when in fact it was not, where if he had let that play out a little bit longer, I think that things might have gone better.
But Dong Jae did such a good acting job of like convincing everybody. Like he insisted so much that he wasn't a terrorist that it made everybody feel like that he was actually the other terrorist and that he was the person they needed to take out to ultimately win. So it was like a really fun reveal to get that he was actually the fanatic.
Yeah, I was blindsided. Yeah. I mean, GM also did a really good job of playing as the fanatic. So it really gave them like both cover that if they had not been working together, I don't know that it would have been as effective. But it was super fun to have that reveal at the end. I thought like, all right, you know what? Suk Jin like was very confident, ultimately made the right shot. And to find out that that was not the case, like, all right, we got the like episode one reveal that I think is going to get people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That threesome that when you add GM to the mix, it was so good because he was so erratic that everyone was just like, he's got to be trying to get voted out. Like he's the fanatic. So we don't have to worry about anybody else being the fanatic because he's obviously doing it. It's like, no, just keeping your attention off of what really matters here. And, you know, and they ended up paying for it, but they did benefit. Like you said, they split the pot as far as the pieces go, you know, so the alliance worked. I wonder if that's going to be an alliance that we see working in the future, or is that just kind of like an alliance of convenience this time?
So after the first game, we have to send two players to the jail. Now, Scally, is this going to happen? Do we think after every round, two players go to the jail?
It appears so. Yeah, I think that's one of the game mechanics that will be.
All right. And so Siwon and Guillaume, they are the terrorists. They get to decide who goes to the jail. And their thinking was they want to send the worst players to the jail, but not before Dong Jae gets in and wants to also like get into the huddle with them.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the one that even brought this up.
Yeah, this was like, his idea.
Let me go ahead. He was like, let me go ahead and suggest that we want to trim the fat, cut the weak out of the group because we need to work together. I didn't love that he just listed every woman on the cast. That was kind of not phenomenal. But, you know, we didn't get to see how the game exactly played out and the strengths that they put in. But I thought it was like good thinking. If you're going to need to move forward with a strong group, it made sense.
Yeah. It was, because he's saying like we want to increase the prize pot, but I mean, to some extent, don't you want to make sure that you also are the most cunning person around. You know, like if you get rid of the weak links, then you don't have anybody to beat easily in the end. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like at some point, you're going to be up against some of the more stronger competitors. And I think that might be something that maybe is like a little bit short-sighted of him. You know, you get to the end and you got 9-10 pieces and somebody else has 10-11 pieces and you're trying to, you know, scratch and survive against some of the better players when you could really probably run the table.
Chappelle, it's the Lions versus the Hyenas.
Yeah, but you want to keep the Hyenas around to beat, you know, like, you know, too many Lions at the end. That sounds like a gruesome fight, you know. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like, oh, I hear him, you know, but at the same time, I still would want to win. Mm-hmm. And so maybe he just feels very highly of himself. Like, no, nah, if it comes down to it, I think I could still, you know, ink everybody out.
So it's going
to
be Yumin and Kyung Rim that they go to the jail. And it's very bare bones jail. The one interesting thing in the jail, Scally, there's sort of like this like thing that you would have like at a bar of like these like interlocked rings to play with. And there's like some sort of a puzzle here that they're going to be trying to figure out.
Yeah, it reminded me of the savvy portion of Sweater Savvy. Yeah, I've done these puzzles before. They are increasingly frustrating the longer you spend on them. But if I'm in that jail, I thought it was really funny that Kyung Rim like basically seemed to hog it the entire time where Yumin like searched the room. But it gave you something to do. And it also was going to be that the person who was able to successfully solve the puzzle ends up getting a piece. So there is not a total downside to going to jail if there are going to be these twists.
Yeah,
and Kyung Rim figured it out. So I mean, don't get me wrong, she did hog it. Like, I mean, it looked like she had it about 90% of the time, and so it worked out for her. I don't know if this is something that she necessarily has to share with the other group, but it seemed like they already kind of were into the idea that if they went to jail, then they probably did get some type of advantage or, you know, a clue or something like that. So I think the people are all in on the joke. Like, if you go to jail, there still might be something there for you. I mean, even Yumin, she was searching the entire cell because she just figured there was something else in there for them. So, you know, it might be a downside, but they're not going to leave you high and dry.
Okay. So everybody goes back to the living quarters. And then there was like a whole feast that they gave them. Scott, I thought this was going to be like some kind of like a trick or a game or something that was going to happen. But no, it's just like, you know, everybody feast.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing I always remember from The Genius too, is even though they were just there for an afternoon, they ate well. They brought in great catering. And so being that they were back in the very lush living quarters, it was not surprising for me to see that they got such a decadent
meal. Was it just to compare, like, look at like the paltry meal in the jail? They just got like a Subway sandwich.
They got bread. They were like, is this bread and sunflower seeds? The ghetto. You know, the people in jail were like, this is nasty. Like, I don't ever want to be back in jail again because they eating good out there. Yeah. But it really did seem like that's, aside from just like the opportunity to politic and talk to everybody, really not a lot of downside to going to jail. You just miss out on the prize competition that they end up doing.
But they would have tried to kill you with that feast, Chappelle.
I mean, I'm going to feast if a feast is there to be feasted on. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So no, I would have been in the mix as long as there's no shellfish to kill me.
Well, that was what they had. It was like a huge like lobster.
It was listen, there has to be other various accoutrements I can eat at something, you know, like as long as it don't touch the lobster, I should be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the bonus game or the prize round?
It's a puzzle.
Yeah.
It spins.
It's tangrams. Yeah. It is collective tangrams. Yeah.
The interesting part of it was that it was on, I don't know what you would call this, like in the playground. Chappelle, do you know what this is called?
That spinny thing on the playground. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. If you listen to this,
call it like a merry-go-round still.
Is it called a merry-go-round? Boo, that's a ghetto name.
I've at least heard it called that, but like it's, those things that are illegal now because people hurt themselves on them too much.
Y'all know the ones. You stand on it and somebody spins you and you spin and it's like seven or eight of you and you just keep spinning and then you fly off and then someone breaks a leg. That's the one.
That's what it is.
So they did that, but they combined it with a puzzle aspect where each of them had to like do pieces of the puzzle as the thing spun around to kind of complete the puzzle. So you had to pick up where the person before you left off.
Yeah. And the problem was there was only like three people that were actually good at this. And then the thing would be spinning around and wherever it stopped and ended up being the person would get, if you got multiples, you would get a piece. And you had Orbit here saying like, hey, Like, let's always make it be on the same person, and then we can divvy up the pieces. We could even give pieces to the people in jail. And a bunch of folks were like,
yeah.
No.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. There was multiple people who were not in for this, most of whom is Dongjae, who was like, I'm going to solve this when I can solve this. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think he's really fun to have on the show, in just that, like, he's like just playing like such a self-interested game and not really interested in what people like Orbit are trying to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's not a celebrity. Game,
like, I love the deathmatch aspect to the genius, but by not having them, it does so far make it seem like it's going to be easier to just outright eliminate him. And so if Dongjae is continuing to play, you know, so aggressively, it seems like it's only going to benefit him at the moment. I'm curious to see how that could catch up with him, but I don't really see a strong downside here.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the way you get eliminated from this game is to not have any more pieces, but they haven't given us a situation where he would need to wager any of his pieces thus far, right? So he's only gained pieces in the deathmatch situation that you're talking about. In the genius, is that where you put your pieces up like against somebody in a challenge?
You basically like going like all in against somebody.
Yeah, this game doesn't seem to have that aspect at all, unless it's coming later on and they haven't said it. I don't remember them mentioning a potential for you to lose your pieces in a battle against somebody else one on one.
I was gonna say, is this gonna be like Tough as Nails, where we're gonna keep this cast around the whole time?
It feels like it. We went through two episodes and I haven't seen any sign of an elimination.
I feel like there has to be a game where you either have to like buy into the game, and so you have to have a minimum of one or two to buy in, or you're going to be betting your pieces, because why even bring up elimination if it doesn't seem possible to lose your pieces? I mean, I know that you can only exchange them in the living area, but it seems kind of weird to be like, okay, like if you help me, I'll give you my one and only
my last piece.
And then
piece.
You don't go get it and you go through with it to eliminate yourself from the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how this is going to go. It's something I'm sure that will be explained like as we go along here, and why the pieces are so important.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is also in these games, like, sure, Dongjae could isolate himself where people think like, okay, he's too selfish of a player. He's going to screw me over. I don't necessarily want to work with him moving forward. But he's so far held true on all his words, even with Seokjin, who he like fooled in the main match. He was like, I got you in the future. Like, don't worry, I'm going to work with you. And these games, at least this first one and many of the genius games, are set up in a way where like you're randomly assigned a role and you have to work with that person that is on your team now. It is not just like I can make an alliance and choose to work only with these people. Mm-hmm. Based on the game.
Yeah, I can imagine that, you know, because we see them automatically assign roommates and stuff. So I can imagine a world where the next competition or a couple competition down the line, it's okay, you two versus you two, or, you know, you two versus, you know, or whatever. We'll divide into teams of six or something like, you know, something like that. I could see that happening. Well, not teams of six. I think there's only 11 people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I could see them just like picking apart the different groups and making them play and interact with each other in a way to where it's just not like one side of the house versus the other.
Yeah, we had some alliances that got set up also at the end of the second episode. Orbit and Junbin had something going, right?
Yeah, it's interesting because Junbin, the entire stretch of the two episodes, is like, I don't want to work with Orbit at all. He's a joke. Like, he's so annoying. Multiple people in the house are like, oh my God, he will not stop talking about
science. YouTubers like to collaborate.
That is very true. And so they seem to have a genuine conversation here, saying that, okay, like, we trust Dongju. What about Seungkwan? And then, like, yeah, ultimately, I think they land on adding Yumin and Haesung to that to form a six-person alliance. And I think that, like, if true, that could be very helpful. But again, these games are set to break up those alliances. In addition, I don't know if Junbin actually wants to work with Orbit. So is that going to fall apart just before it even comes together? Interesting, though, that they're trying, at least.
Yeah, they flag it at the beginning of the first episode. I guess when they get their room assignments, even he's like, yeah, we're both YouTubers, but we don't really see eye to eye at all. And so for them to be an alliance of convenience just because they're kind of like in the same area, it does feel like this is a shaky alliance, to say the least. So it sounds solid, But just knowing that their personalities and their thought processes of how the game is going to work are so different, that I don't see this one being the alliance to take it all the way to the end.
Guillaume was really good at the Tanagrams, I also want to say.
Really, really good. And that's the thing, is that, like, I like Tangrams. I find that when you're doing them yourself, like, often can be easy. These look to get very difficult, and you had like 3 seconds as everyone messed up what you had just been working on before. And Guillaume was solving them like almost single-handedly. Good work by Dongju as well, but Guillaume was like,
well, they had
level.
Like the monitor that you could see it as you were like going around the merry-go-round. So I think that that helped. But you know, there were some people that just it was like they had nothing. Like Junbin.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, see, I'm the best. Look at me.
He is me. Yeah. I am him. We are same. I'm sorry. I felt seen every time. Every time he touched the thing, he's like, yep, I got nothing. I got nothing. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Okay. Anything else from the first two episodes of The Devil's Plan that we want to highlight here today?
I don't know. I mean, it was fun. I will say the same thing with the genius. The title sequence slaps so good.
Yes.
That is one thing that I think that shows could pick up, is like, this is high production quality for this title sequence. Very fun.
One thing that I am interested to know is like, how big of a hit is this? You know, I feel like that, you know, Netflix that, you know, as we've talked about, Chappelle, like with To Doom, like that they, you know, have like these specific markets where are they, you know, are huge markets. And so like the South Korean market, and we heard so much of a Singles Inferno referenced a number of times, and of course like Squid Game comes out of this and these like South Korean imports. I'd be interested to know how big of a hit this is on South Korean Netflix.
Oh, you know what, that's a good point, because even like Netflix, United States Netflix, what they'll do is they will pick a show and then they will say, it's our number one show on Netflix, regardless of if anybody watches it. Like one person could watch it, a billion people could watch it. And they said, like, this is number one. You know, Woody the Woodpecker was the number one movie on Netflix, like for like 2 weeks straight, like maybe last month. And so I'd wonder if it's like organically a very popular show, or if maybe even Korean Netflix is pushing that show. Because I did see some, the Nothing But Netflix account is tapped into all the Netflixes around the world. And so I have seen a lot of advertisement about the Devil's Plan on the, like, pushed on the Netflix social media account. But I don't know actually like what the current I don't know what the current popularity is of the brand all across the board. So I'd be interested to find that out too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it is not currently in the U.S. top 10, but we'll see if it ends up picking up some steam. But we'd love to hear from the listeners that would they like to see more coverage of The Devil's Plan?
Yeah, it was ranked the 7th most popular TV show on networks worldwide about a day or two ago.
Okay.
And so, you know, it is doing numbers. So I just want to know if our listeners or the RHAP listeners, or even just, you know, fans of the, you know, Nothing But Netflix, obviously, are interested in checking that out. Because I think the top 10 right now worldwide are Sex Education, and I think let's see what other ones on here. I know Suits, In Our Minds and Hearts. One Piece is on here. Love is Blind is still on here as well. The Devil's Plan coming in at 7th, and then I think number 10 is the Burning Body. So yeah, it's very popular, but it's not the most popular thing. So I'm actually interested to see if we have quite the following for something like
this. Could be a slow burn and one that ends up building some steam. Scott, I know you're going to be watching this whole thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm very excited to continue. I mean, I don't know if it's just my algorithm, but it is the absolute first thing I saw when I opened Netflix every time. So I will be checked into every episode. I could see myself rewatching this in a year as well. So yeah, I'm locked
in. All right. Chappelle, we have a big episode coming up next time we get together for Nothing But Netflix.
Yeah, and it seems like we have a call to action, too. I think that, Rob, the listeners have to let us know if they want to, you know, how they felt about The Devil's Plan, right? Like, if they think it's something that maybe Nothing But Netflix should readdress, or maybe, you know, what's something that RJP should readdress, you know, I feel like we need the feedback. Yeah, so maybe I'll tweet out a poll or something like that, or maybe we just ask in a Facebook group, what do people think about The Devil's Plan? Because, you know, we're at episode 99 of Nothing But Netflix. So it's very important.
Episodes. Yep.
Yeah, it's very important that we pick the right thing for episode 100. And so I actually want to know what people are looking for us to do for our 100th episode, because it's our 100th episode, but it's only our 100th episode.
Yeah.
Only, yes.
Okay.
Should we go back and cover the physical
100?
Yeah. No, there's another one that's like
100 humans.
Something like 100. You know, there's a new one. There's a newer one. Lived like 100. Live to 100, about people who make it to 100 years old.
Yeah, that sounds very boring.
We lived.
Yeah, we did.
We lived to 100.
Right.
Yeah. Look, Rob, I don't know, man. I feel like it's such a big deal. I want to do a huge production for us for our 100th episode. Mm-hmm. But again, it's only our 100th episode. So maybe it doesn't have to be a huge production, but I do want to cover something fun, something that we both enjoy. We got to bring out the big guns, Rob. Okay.
Are you interested in Encounters, the new Netflix UFO docuseries?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, let's see. There's some things that are coming to Netflix, but I'm not sure if there's anything that's like super exciting.
We got the Great British Baking Show is back.
Yes. Do we care about the Uber movie?
The Uber movie?
Yes. Basically, it's like the social network of Uber.
Oh, no, we don't care about that.
Yeah.
I mean, no, we don't care about that. What else? Reptile was recently added.
That's too serious.
It does look too serious. Is that Benicio Del Toro?
Mm-hmm.
Justin Timberlake's in this movie, Rob. I think that disqualifies it. Okay. No, I'm joking. There's a recently added Spy Kids Armageddon. I know the Spy Kids heads are going to be very happy when we talk about that for our 100th episode. I don't know, Rob. We got a lot of options, but I don't know if anything just jumps out as what we need to talk about.
You know, it is going to be spooky season pretty soon, too, once we get to October.
You know what? Our first episode, episode 100, will be a spooky season episode. Yeah. I wonder if they got any holiday specials coming out.
The Fall of the House of Usher. Now, I thought this was going to be like a takedown of the Super Bowl performing artist, but no, it's just like another one. What was that one we covered last year where it was like about the haunted house?
That was like the Munsters.
No, not the true story I forget the I have like famous actors in it.
Yeah, it was very popular.
You know what I'm talking about?
Jennifer Coolidge was in it.
They bought the haunted house. Yeah. Jennifer Coolidge was the real estate agent.
Yep, that's the one. I think we had Josh and Emily on.
Yeah, okay. I thought you were just humoring me for a second. You know what I'm talking about.
No, yeah. I remember it. I do. The Watcher. That's what it was called.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just remember a holiday pour.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's spooky season, Rob.
October 12th. I'm not sure if that's
too far out.
It might be a series also.
Okay. Deliver Us from Evil is coming out October 12th. There's a few spooky things. The Conference looks kind of spooky. Of course, Tammy. It's coming as well, starring Melissa McCarthy. That's a terrifying movie as well. So there's a few things. I don't know. I think we need spooky season suggestions. So again, we're looking for the Nothing But Netflix listeners to show up here,
right?
Yeah, tell us what we should be talking about throughout October, because I think that this is our only time to really pay homage to the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, and also
candy corn season.
I just want to also highlight Love at First Sight. It's still in the Netflix top 10 movies. We had such a great podcast with Jason Reed a couple of weeks ago that if people are watching that movie or just want the podcast, they could check that out. What do you think? I think it's a Spanish language movie called Nowhere, about this woman that's trapped on the ocean on a shipping container. Do you see this?
Isn't she pregnant too? That sounds terrifying.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think she is. Yeah. It sounds terrifying.
Yes. Yes.
I'm down.
Netflix says that it is a dark thriller and dystopian.
Ah, the big three. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So let us know as next time we come back, Nothing But Netflix number 100. And so
100.
So we're going to look, we may not be back next weekend for Nothing But Netflix. That I have a lot of traveling coming up, but we also want to pick the right spot for a special 100th episode and not just jam something in to get an episode in. So we're going to we'll let you know what number 100 is going to be.
Yes. And when you find out, we will definitely go and entertain whatever other shenanigans that we might need to do for the 100. I think I should do it. We should do a quiz, Rob. When I realized that you didn't know The Watcher and I don't know The Watcher, I'm like, do we even remember the other 99 episodes of Nothing But Netflix? Maybe I'll set up a pop test for you.
My recall to see, is going. I think that this year broke me. I think that we're just have like jamming in like too much Survivor, Big Brother, Amazing Race, like all this other stuff. Like I feel like that no longer an expert in a number of subjects.
Let's put you to the test then, Rob. Let's see how well you remember Nothing But Netflix. I think that might be fun. If anybody wants to help me with the Nothing But Netflix quiz, DM me. Let's talk.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Scally, what's coming up for you?
Anything I'm doing will be on Twitter at Brian_Scally. I'm also on Twitch at twitch.tv/bscally. I am regularly covering the Challenge USA, soon to be Challenge 39, over on the Dom and Colin feed with Matt Liguori, and am about to be guesting on the 90 Day Fiance feed with Puya covering the tell-all. Oh. So people should check that out as well.
All right. Well, Scally, thank you for coming on and talking about the Devil's Plan here with us, and maybe there'll be some more Devil's Plan coverage.
I think people should
let us know if you want it. Okay, all right. And then Chappelle, what is coming up for you?
Well, besides, you know, stalking Scally's Twitch stream as one of the original Scal pals, I am, still podcasting with you every day, talking about Suits. Yep. We're having a great time. Suitspodcast.com/Facebook is where you see me partying a lot, talking to the other Suits fans. You can tweet us at SuitsPod as well if you want to get into the discussion, into our community that we've built. We're having the time of our life, and we're almost through season 3 onto season 4. So this is going to be a good time. Also, talking about Netflix shows with you every week. So this is always a good time. Talking about The Walking Dead every week with post-show recaps. On The Connect on post-show recaps, talking about The Changeling with Mari. And then every week, talking about Below Deck with Sasha. So I'm in various locations, but you can follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show to keep up with all that and more. I think I got a Price is Right episode coming up, Rob, don't I?
Price is Right that has been very underpromoted from the powers that be at CBS and Survivor, but we're going to cover it on Monday night, so be on the lookout for that. Chappelle and I did a Survivor Q&A the other day for the patrons of Rob is a Podcast.
Patrons only.
Yeah, so check that all out. And get links to everything we're doing over at Rob is a Podcast over at robiswebsite.com/subscribe. Thank you for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.